Father, by your Spirit, help me to share what's on your heart for each of us. Help me to be a learner before teacher. Speak to us, we pray. Amen. Wow, isn't it great to be part of something like this? I hope you feel that you're glad that you've been here today. And as you heard, Victoria said that our reading, echoing Nolwenn's words, is about love. If we can go on to the next slide, please. Have you ever been to a swish event or a wedding or somewhere where there's been a champagne cascade? Yes, one or two of you, woo, living the life. And or maybe seen in a film, you know, where they have the champagne. I've wanted to do this. I've wanted to do this. Now, some of you know that once, again, back in the day, I'm surprised they let me continue to be a vicar, I walked down the middle of the church I was serving in, shaking good champagne, and then I sprayed the congregation. I was trying to teach about grace. Because God is extravagant with his grace. You know, no one goes tut, tut, tut. It was out there, and I said to the people, if you want more of God's grace, you'd be fighting to get the drips, because people are getting champagne on them. I love this sense of cascading. Because in the first few verses of this Bible reading, it's about cascading love. Listen to the cascade as you look at them. The Father loved Jesus. Love. Coming on to Jesus. Jesus loved the Father back. And because he loved him, he obeyed him. It was a natural thing. It was a love thing. He loved him and obeyed him. And then the love, the cascade, goes on. Jesus' followers are loved by him. There are official words that Church of England clergy are meant to say when we give bread and wine to people. I've always believed that's a moment for the Spirit to move. Sometimes when I've seen young boys who have half wanted really to be at football practice, or they're there because they're still being made to come, I've taken words that the Greek Orthodox use and say, may Jesus be your champion leader. Give them a real yes type blessing. And then as their parents, if it's at that stage, have had their hands out, I can say, and I love the words, the body of Christ, or Jesus died, but often I will just say to people, Jesus died for you because he loves you. Or simply, Jesus loves you. And no word of a lie, no exaggeration from a preacher, at communion rails or standing in circles, I have seen people melt in tears. Because to be told you are loved is an essential human need. Talk to your friends who are single. Talk to your friends who have been wronged in love. Talk to people who don't hear a human being say to them, I love you. And recognize how important it is to know that we are loved by God. And I don't know you well enough, but I know in some families, and I'm in a big family, so we exhibit some of the best human traits, and we exhibit some awful ones in my extended family as well. And the people I feel most sorry for in my family are the ones who still think they've got to earn love from other people and earn love from God, as opposed to receiving love freely, freely. I love the cascade. So they love Jesus back. We love Jesus back. And then we love each other. Now that's a tough one. That's a tough one in a church. You know, let's not kid ourselves. I'm going to like everyone equally in every church I've ever served in. I am going to be drawn to everyone, even the Tottenham fans. No, no. No, there may be bigger reasons. Because churches are full of people. And some of them are downright difficult. But like me, they're a work in progress. And Christian love, New Testament love, is not lovey-dovey, hearts and roses. Mm-mm. Christian love is, I will serve you. I will meet your need. I will open my door. You can come and sleep in our spare room. I shall come and pick you up when your car breaks down. I will do those things, and that is Christian love. It's love in action. It's not lovey-dovey. In my experience, when there have been people in a church that I'm serving where I find it hard to get on with them, spend more time with them, not less time. And God brings the feelings sometimes afterwards. Love each other as I have loved you. Let's go on to the next. Costly love. Now, some of you have met on the three times we've been here. Kathy, my wife, she loves shopping. She loves charity shops. And I get a bonus if I actually say to her, having got a present that she likes, hey, and darling, it had money off. It was on offer. Not because I'm a cheapskate, but she loves it. She loves to know she's getting value for money. But you know, love is costly. And what Jesus offers you as I is not a cut price deal, not some shoddy deal. You know that if there's a promotion, especially those of you who work in advertising, you know, you do a promotion. If it's a free gift, it's usually plastic and not worth having. But God's free gift outdoes any other gift. Outdoes any other gift. God's love. And it comes in a package. God's love includes forgiveness. It comes in a package. God's love includes hope. God's love includes strength to face what on your own keeps you awake at night or makes you struggle. It's costly love, and it's given freely, and Jesus spells it out on the cross. And again, in these verses, if you're following, it says, so that his followers know how much they're loved. Now, can you remember the product it was? I don't think it was. I think it had Jennifer Aniston in, but I'm not sure. The commercial that said, because you're worth it. Do you remember that one? Was it either jewelry or smellies? Oh, look at you! Bang on it! Oh, dear, sorry. Someone's going to have to spend some money this week. Splash the cash. L'Oreal. There we are. And do you use the product, madam, if I may you ask? Oh, look at that. Ain't love grand? it is great, isn't it, eh? It is great. The day the gospel reached South Africa. because you're worth it. And all sorts of stuff comes your way that you've not earned. A fabulous sunrise. Top coffee. Cool mates, love, people that matter to you. They come to you not because you've earned it. They come to you because you're worth it, which is why it's good to say thank you to God for just the ordinary stuff that comes. Let's move on to change status, if we may, Pamela. Now, just as a little quick show, how many of you in the time you've been in France have got residency or taken citizenship and your status has changed? Alan, for one. Oh, look at you. Okay, do you guys know what changing status means? Changing status means that you can do some stuff that you couldn't do before. Vote, do all sorts of things. It also means, especially if your arrival in this country was one that was difficult. I recently was working in Florence and met a woman who came from Africa across the Mediterranean. She was trafficked into the sex trade. Fortunately, she met some Christians early on who took her in and have supported her for 20 years. She now teaches on what happens to young people, the effect on their development if they're trafficked or been part of coming on a boat. But her life could have gone one way. And instead, these people, these two Christians, took her in and helped her change her state, gain status to start with. What God does for us as his children when we decide to follow him, he changes our status with all that comes with that. Some of us are old enough before computer screens and stuff to play a game called Consequences. It would go something like, Johnny met Sophie. Sophie said such and such, and the consequence was... Okay, if Kathy was here, moving on to sort of our next point about the consequence, is that Paul had a broken arm, Kathy wrote her phone number on his plaster, and the consequence is next year they celebrate 50 years of being together. Hey! Thank you. But the key point is this. I know in our relationship who made the first move. Because I never expected her to write her phone number on my plaster. And I was shy about girls just for one short time in my life because I'd had a broken engagement. So had she not done that, I wouldn't have asked her out. She made the first move. And whatever you may think, whatever your journey so far, God has made the first move on you. Because he loves you. He loves you. So I am so glad that these young people stood there and said, I am going to follow Christ. I've chosen to follow Christ. And you need to do that. You need to make a personal decision to say, I'm going to take all the benefits, God, that you're offering me, but never think it's on you. It's on Jesus, the strong one in the partnership, not the weak one in the partnership. You did not choose me, says Jesus, but I chose you and appointed you that you may go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. I made a commitment to Jesus about the age of 17, went off and became a young police officer and had to do all sorts of things and completely lost my way spiritually and morally. And Jesus used the verse, John 15, verse 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you, to make it clear to me that while I had sort of said, Jesus, I asked you into my life, and now I'm asking you out, that it didn't work like that. That when I was ready in his time to come back to him, he welcomed me as a prodigal. He made the first move. He loves us. He'll never give up on us. Amen? Amen. Great. If you're not sure about that, especially if you're a French speaker, this is one of the bits of the Gospels, Jesus' life story. It's fabulous. It's got great news in it. Just take one. Or if you want to ask a bit more about how you can say yes to Jesus, perhaps for the first time, talk to me or someone else you know and trust during the day. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you make the first move because you love us. Father, we thank you that your son loved you so much, he obeyed you and went to the cross because you love us. And thank you now that you welcome us back into your family because you love us.